Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live weekly prophecy reality edition, every Wednesday morning. So if you're listening on a Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time or at noon on the other coast, you can join us in the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net. Or .com, whichever way you like it. Or it's chat.firstamendmentradio.com. And come on over, be part of the conversation in the first hour. Current events, comments, suggestions, questions. I'd like to interact with the listeners, the few though there be. and in the second hour, we're going to pick up on part 8. I'm reviewing my book on the air for you. Which I published while reviewing, and you can get that. I think there's a link at my website on the homepage if you go to the latest post there. But the name of the book is, what is the name of that book? Oh, The Beast Apocalyptic. That's the name of the book. And that is a, I don't even have a physical copy of it myself, but you can order one. I have one on the way. But it's an exposition of the beast powers and related symbols from the Revelation and the book of Daniel. So what we do is we focus in on the beast powers, what they are, who they are, what the symbols that are related to them mean. And I think if we get a good idea of that aspect of prophecy, well, everything else kind of falls into place. It's true. Yeah, and that's why I finally ended up writing the book, because I realized that there was so much confusion out there as to what the beast is or what an apocalyptic beast represents when that symbol is used in the Revelation and in the book of Daniel. So that helps us to understand prophecy and who the characters that we're dealing with are. So stick around, that it'll be part 8, and I think we're, let's see, oh, everybody's looking at my desktop there, but let me see, it's part 8, and we're in chapter 6, Revelation 13, and the earth beast creates an image of the sea beast. So if you wonder what the image means, it's a beast-related symbol, since we have one beast creating an image of another beast. And what does that mean? How does that relate to today? Is that a reality? Is there, are there any clues in Daniel and the Revelation that can help us to pinpoint what these symbols mean? So you'll definitely want to stick around for that coming up in the second hour. First hour here, let's see, we're going to be looking at comments, questions from the chat room, anything anyone wants to put in there, comments while I'm covering news items. And that's what I'm going to look at, headlines, talk about what's going on in the world as if you don't already know. I think there are a lot better commentators on current events and such out there. And we have them, some of them, right here on First Amendment Radio, so which we are on. First Amendment Radio is like my tent-making ministry. I use that to support the work that I do here. And then God's people support that work, which supports me and my family and allows me to come here once a week and to spend time writing books and researching and reading and writing. And I don't know what my next book is yet, but I've decided that until the day I die, I'm going to be working on a book. There may be a little space in between books when I write one to another, but I just want to focus on and keep my brain alive until Jesus comes, if that's possible. Anyway, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be exercising these brain cells here, and I suggest that you do the same. Read, write, engage debate, enlighten your neighbors, your friends, your family, and tell them all about God's word and the hope that we have in Christ. And that way we could reach all of the elect by the time Jesus comes, because all of the elect that are going to be reached by the time he comes, believe me, they will be reached. And the fact is, God doesn't need us, but we should be honored that God would use us to work out his purpose for his kingdom. So, something to look forward to every day. Okay, let's see. That's the earth beast. That's what we'll pick up next hour. I had a scripture verse here. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And all I could say is hallelujah. You know, praise God. Christ is risen, and we are crucified with him, and we will rise on the last day, as the scripture says. Okay. Let's look at some news items here. Yeah, let's look at some funny stuff here first. Clever business owners ward off looters with Kyle Rittenhouse scarecrows. So, I guess this is the latest in the news, all of the looting that's going on. And because of, this is what the Antichrist wants to destroy America, destroy the foundation upon which this nation is founded on. And that is law, a nation of law, where the law is king. That's the whole idea of our republic, of the American Republic that was constituted so many years ago, was that the law is king, lex rex. But see, the Pope don't like that. The Antichrist doesn't like it. And all of the rulers of the world, the would-be rulers of the world, the oligarchs, they don't like the law being king, because they do not want to be judged by even the law of man, the law of the nations. And that's why they're not prosecuting people whose lawlessness they favor. And so, plus, they want to destroy this country and this great nation that was founded upon many, many godly principles so many years ago. So we see this looting thing going on, and not prosecuting criminals and thieves. And it's just ridiculous to tell people that they can steal up to, anything less than $1,000 of store looting or shoplifting, and they won't be prosecuted. And so we see what goes on, and it's become pretty bold. If you see some of the things, there are actually organized looting rings going on. It's organized crime now. And it's going to change the face of America, especially these big cities where this is going on. It's going to change the face of America a lot. You may have to drive up to pick up everything at the store and meet your clerk at a bulletproof window, so you can't go in and shoplift and loot. But this just goes to one of their other things, is to that you have to do everything online to get all currency digital. Everything is culminating in their effort to bring about the Mark of the Beast and Mark of the Beast Inquisitions. And as I've said before, 2030 is the year. That's why one theme I have for this broadcast is the 2030 march to the mark of the beast. And here we are in 2021. 2022 is coming up pretty fast. So those years go by very quickly. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Mark Ruffalo. I don't even know who Mark Ruffalo is, so I don't know what the point is in reading this, but maybe some of you do. Donates $50 million to found Joseph Rosenbaum Elementary School. Okay, I don't know who. I think he might be one of the victims of of Kyle Rittenhouse. Victims? Yes, shooting victims. Yes, if you do the crime, I guess you become a victim and have to do the time or pay the penalty, whatever that might be. And Joe Biden announces he's been told he's running again in 2024. Yes, I've been told I'm running again in 2024. Somebody had to tell him. Let's see, what else we got here? Anything interesting? White House says everyone can save on Thanksgiving by skipping it, since there's nothing to be thankful for. And, yeah, that's funny, but we have a lot to be thankful for. We are alive. We were born. All the promises of God's are ours, and eternal life through Jesus Christ. So no matter how bad things get, you know, the worst thing that can happen to us is that they could kill us or, you know, or do worse things to us before they kill us. But whatever, you know, God will give us the strength to endure whatever we need to endure. So it matters not. But that doesn't mean we don't resist, because we do. We resist evil, and we resist evil doers. Okay, let's see. What else do we have here? Let me check out the chat room and see if we got anybody showing up today. Oops. Let's see. Here we go. Oh, Dale, Jace, and me. Oh, it's lonely over here today. Yeah, it is lonely over here today. I was checking out the other chat room earlier. Let me see. And over here in DLive, Fuzzmeister and WW are over there. He says, WW says, I still can't get into the other chat room. Huh. Maybe you need to change browsers or something there, WW. Maybe, do you have that Google browser? try Dissenter or something, or Firefox or something. So I seem to be able to get over there on at least those several browsers. I'm using Dissenter right now just for the chat room. I have different browsers for different things. So that's how that works. Let's see. I thought I saw Mr. Wordsworth in here earlier. He said hi to me. So I'm saying, hi back to you there. Yes, Mr. Wordsworth in the chat room. Steely Dan. Haven't seen you here before, but you're welcome. And, Fire Blon. Okay. Welcome to the chat room. So we got a couple people over there. Jesus is still on the throne, so thank you, Jesus. Amen to that. Yeah, always something. Yes, and WW is still missing the old chat room, or as he put it there, LOD chat room, old chat room. Yeah, we're not going back to the old chat room. This one works fine. I figured it out so that nobody's going to do anything scary in it, or creeps from other chat rooms are not going to creep over and post things that nobody wants to see. But I don't know. Like I said, WW, try another browser or something. Yeah. Anyway. Hey, we have, if anyone really wants to call in, let me know that my phone really works. You can hear me and talk to me and the audience all at the same time. Yeah, do that. Anyway, let's jump into the headlines here and see what's going on in the world. Okay, an impolite message to those who got the V. Yes, the V. Well, that looks... excuse me. Some things you're not supposed to do on the air. Sometimes you can't help. Had a little air escape there. Let me see. Anyway, wake up, you idiots, says our author here, Walter Gellies, at lewrockwell.com. An impolite message. Oh, okay, this is supposed to be impolite, so it may be somewhat comedic. Wake up, you idiots. If you willingly got the genetic modification treatment, you were tricked into injecting a harmful, dangerous, unapproved, and often lethal product into your body. A wholly unnecessary product that does not protect you, does not provide immunity, or prevent transmission of any kind of cold or anything similar to that. Oh, there we go. Your name and where are you calling from? You're on the air. Well, see, I always get the shyest callers. The last minute, these scaredy pants, probably wet in the seat of their chair, can't talk for some reason. Of course, I'm being somewhat facetious and not very kind here for the moment. But anyway, whoever keeps calling me in and remaining silent should know by now that they're too afraid to talk. Okay? Stop calling in, please, if you don't know how to move your mouth. Thank you. I appreciate that. May God bless you for listening, and may you receive His holy word into your heart and your mind and become a member of the body of Christ and receive eternal life from, because that's my true prayer for you. Yeah, but I am a man. Sometimes I might say something unkind to some people. Jesus even said unkind things occasionally, so I think I'm okay here. Okay, let's see. Ah, yes. Yeah, but it does wreck your immune system, damages your organs, cause blood clots and internal inflammation, and renders you more susceptible to many diseases, including cancer. You know, this is a sad, sad thing that's going on. And what Satan, through his minions on earth, has been able to get away with right now in his assault on mankind is atrocious. I mean, I knew, but I never conceived that this would play out this way. I mean, who could conceive of this? And who could conceive that it is actually happening? You know, no one could. I mean, perhaps some apocalyptic, this would make a great apocalypse movie of a sort, a post-apocalyptic movie, you know, the kind they make in Hollywood, like after some apocalyptic worldwide disaster or something, or just, I mean, this is beyond fiction because it's become a nightmare reality, what's going on out there in the world. And that no matter what the truth is and how much of it gets out, it seems they just run right over the truth and there's no turning this thing back. That blows my mind. I mean, usually we've been able to push things back in the past. But this one, it doesn't matter. And then there's people out there that are just delusional. Even some good people that are doing the right things, they're delusional, saying that, you know, the DNA treatment program is a good thing, when it obviously is not. You know, it's like, I remember back when Pintos were getting rear-ended and exploding into flame, right? Remember that? But now the government's saying everybody must buy a Pinto and they must allow themselves to get rear-ended and it be exploded into flame. But it's very rare that anyone dies or gets injured by such a thing. Your name and where you're calling from? Okay, who from Ohio?
Bill from Ohio.
Okay, yeah, you're very cloudy, but okay, what do you got for us, Ben?
working, and everything's not working very well in life. So, but, you know.
Any comments, questions, anything you want to tell all the folks out there?
I wish I did, but I forgot it so bad. Yeah, I can't right now. I'll probably put something in that.
Okay. All right. Well, if you think anything, just put it in the chat room there. And thanks for the sound check, man. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Bye-bye. All right. Well, we know the phone does work. His is exceptionally noisy with weird sounds there. But, hey, I could understand him. And anyway, appreciate that. So if anyone does want to call in, I guess they're all calling in to the Alex Jones Show. I think he's on the air right now, isn't he? I don't know. I think he starts at the same time and then goes an extra hour beyond me. I know, I know David Knight goes off the air just before I start my broadcast. All those people should come over here. No, but we re-air David Knight in the afternoon. So if you want to know the latest and you want to be fully informed as to like what this paragraph means that I first read, if you don't already know, then listen to David Knight in the afternoon. He comes on after Financial Survival, one of our only financial supporters of this broadcast that is somewhat commercial, but usually has good guests on every day, very informative, and also will help you with being able to fund yourself into the Mark of the Beast Inquisitions. We'll see how far we get once they start the Mark of the Beast Inquisitions. And their target date is 2030. And that's what all this that's going on is all about, is because they know they need to push this hard, as hard as they're pushing now and not stopping. And the truth, they're running it right over. Every time it pops, it rears its ugly to them head. Every time it rears its ugly head, because it's ugly to them, the truth, they just steamroll right over it and keep going forward. It's crazy. It's crazy. You wouldn't think that now, you know, they want to rear end children from 12. That's my new euphemism for the product, is they want to rear end you, you know, with the, yeah, so that you'll catch on fire. But hey, it's rare that you die or get burned or maimed for life. It's rare. That's the word. That's the operative word, rare. So we're going to do it to you anyway, even though it's much more rare that what they supposedly are saving you from would kill you, and you would die from it. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And we are on the 2030 march to the Mark of the Beast. And that's what it's really all about. The Antichrist loves totalitarianism and whatever it takes to get us there. That's what he and his shadow government and all of their minions are doing, either knowingly or unknowingly, being used by the Antichrist and his shadow government to pull off what they want. And that is total control over every individual on the planet. They want to control your mind. They want to control what you believe. And if you don't believe what they want you to believe, well, then they want you dead. And basically, they don't really even care if you believe what they believe. They still want you dead because their God, the God of this world, Satan, wants you dead. And Satan is deceiving the nations, and he has been deceiving the nations for millennia, for thousands of years. Don't let anybody deceive you that Satan is not deceiving the nations, as some would have you believe. Yes, he is. Looking forward today to the day when he is locked up. And the key is, he's under lock and key. Anyway, that's a whole nother prophetic debate that's going on as far as between amillennialism and premillennialism. But we'll get to that one sooner or later. I've written about that. I spent 3 chapters on that in my book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. So you can check that. I have a lot of articles on that in my on my blog if you're interested in more of that type of debate that's going on. Okay, let's see what else we got. Great article. I put a link in the chat room to it. The impolite message to those who got the, you know, the rear end jab. That's right. Wake up, you idiots. You know, some of them were fortunate enough to get a placebo. And you can check out the placebo for yourself. At least I did it for quite a while ago. I did. I put in, let's see, 2 words, COVID and, saline. And that was some months ago. And I came up with many, many articles where they found that, that a lot of the vials that were tested actually had saline solution in them. So I don't know what percentage they put out at first, because they knew, you know, it's like this article says, they knew exactly what was going to happen. There are no surprises here. Okay. Because you took the transhuman jab, your body is manufacturing millions of billions of those spike proteins. It's toxic, pathogenic, that means disease-causing, and coagulatory. It causes blood clots. These synthetic spike proteins, which your body has now been reprogrammed, your DNA has been reprogrammed into manufacturing, okay? It says are supposedly identical to the one in the COVID-2 virus as determined by computer modeling of genetic fragments supplied to the U.S. from the Chinese laboratories controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, thanks to Anthony Fauci. That's what your body's producing by the millions or billions, confusing, as this article says, confusing the H out of your immune system, weakening its ability to make essential helper T cells and CD8 cells, which ward off other viruses and diseases. The lipid hydrogel that coats the fragile mRNA strands, that's the new software they've written for your cells, for your body to change your DNA. Okay. contains nanoparticles that cross the blood-brain barrier, causing paralysis, uncontrollable convulsions, neurodegenerative diseases, permanent vision loss, spinal damage, and more. The people who manufactured this, they knew full well about all of the potential adverse reactions. Therefore, it's a bioweapon. That may be a new catchword they're looking for, I guess. But yeah, it's a bioweapon. As a matter of fact, the patent that I believe they put out early in this century, there was a patent, and it was called a bioweapon in the patent. Okay, so it is a bioweapon by their own admissions when they patented it. Okay, its only conceivable purpose is depopulation. And we know that the big people pushing this, that's what they're into. And how people can believe it or be so deluded to believe that these people have their best interests in mind, even though they are notoriously for depopulating the planet. And that must mean killing off people, destroying people's reproductive ability by any means possible. Okay. Wars haven't worked. Revolutions haven't worked. So they're trying a different kind of war. And that is a direct war on the individual human being. So the manufacturers knew full well. They knew about the deaths that would come, about the adverse injuries that would occur, and even death. It's an instrument of social control, part of the Great Reset, aiming for an authoritarian techno-fascist society where you will own nothing and you will be happy, as per the World Economic Forum. So you can read the rest of that article there. Good article, definitely. A lot of good articles over there at lewrockwell.com. Let's see, white knuckles worldwide as the USSA coyly dangles foreign pork. Well, I don't exactly know what that means. So, must have something to do with meat. Okay, anyway, here's good news. With low uptake rates, Africa's deaths the panic demic remain far below Europe and the US. So there's some good news there, and it's a telling thing, but let's not let the truth get in the way of the object of these demons that are running the world. Pathologized totalitarianism 101. Pandemic, no excuse for White House to keep JFK files secret. This from Oliver Stone. Article there, but they don't need any excuse. They just don't want the truth out until it's convenient for them. And it goes on and on. Yeah, it just goes on and on. Really, really get tired of it. And the bad news is just multiplying day by day. Last week, in our second hour, we discussed the Earth Beast of Revelation and the fact that it can only be one nation on the Earth. A lot of people would deny that. A lot of people there's a war on good exegesis and hermeneutic and interpretation of the scripture. And it's a fallout assault. The Antichrist wants you to believe lies that you're what we hope and we have trust in, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the fact that Jesus could actually come to the earth and rule and reign bodily and physically. And their objection is, one of their objections is that there will actually be, just to think of it, unregenerate human beings being born and living and dying at the same time that Jesus is on the earth. Okay? It's untenable to them. But you know what was untenable to the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites? That the Messiah would actually show up and that there would be another 2,000 years of unregenerate people being born, living, and dying on the earth. That Gentile nations, one typified as a great red dragon beast with 10 horns and 7 heads, would rule the earth for 2,000 years. That was untenable to them. So what was untenable? It's the same type of picture. They say, no, we can't take God's word at it because, well, see, the scribes and Pharisees, they ignored the parts that told of the suffering Messiah and God bringing in the Gentiles into his church, into his holy set apart nation. They rejected that. They wanted, you know, they wanted to rule the world. Okay. So they thought their Messiah would come and set them up as governing and ruling the world in some type of conquest of a sort. And that's what they wanted. But they ignored the parts that they didn't like. Now, I can't imagine why anybody would want to ignore something, say, like a 1,000-year opportunity for more souls to be born and live, and yes, even die, but another harvest, the final harvest of the last millennia, with the most pristine circumstance available to the fallen creation for 1,000 years. See, that what they're saying is that it's been terrible for 6,000 years since Adam and Eve were created. Evil has ruled the earth with evil governments, with different epochs and different circumstances over all those 6,000 years. But God forbid that Jesus should come and physically rule over a fallen creation for the final millennium. God forbid it. It cannot be. That's what they're saying. And they're sticking with it. They just cannot go along with what the scripture plainly says. And they've made up all kinds of devices and schemes and conjectures to overthrow the plain reading of the text. Yeah. But we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We will see. And I think it's wonderful. I think God is great, and that he would allow for another 1,000 years of people to be born and live and die, and then a percentage of those would respond to the gospel message. Even under the best circumstances, it will be a demonstration that what a lot of people accuse God of. Oh, if Satan weren't loose in the world, if he didn't have rule over the nations, if he wasn't the God of the world, everyone would accept Jesus and quit their sin. Everyone would turn to love the Creator more than the creation. There is a demonstration, and God has demonstrated quite a bit over the last 6,000 years. There's been a lot of demonstration going on, but that's one that has not been seen yet. And it will be demonstrated clearly so that nobody anywhere will have any defense when that great white throne judgment day comes at the end, when the second resurrection at the end of the millennium occurs, before the new heaven and new earth. Okay? When that final judgment, when the books are opened and everyone has to answer, there will be no excuse. Everything will be covered. Every accusation brought against God will be put down. And so there is one demonstration sorely lacking. And that is it. And all of their objections notwithstanding, because everything about that the scripture says, that Jesus said, that the epistles say, that the Old Testament says, all of it can be harmonized with the actual physical millennial reign of Christ. Christ does come back. It is explicit in the scripture. And he does rule and reign for 1,000 years. He comes back. he puts down the governments of this men. There is a temporal judgment when he returns. It is explicit in chapter 19, that temporal judgment on the nations that rebel against him, even when he comes back, even when he shows up, even when he resurrects all of the dead from all of the elect, and he transforms the elect of those that are remaining at that time, they will still rebel and want to war against him. They will consider him, because they are controlled by Satan, which is obvious when we look at the nations of this world now. They are so deceived by Satan, and it has become so obvious that they have always been deceived by Satan, that even with all of that, they will still turn on him. And there will be a temporal judgment on the earth at that time, as there have always been temporal judgments on the nations throughout history. Every natural disaster, every war, these are all temporal judgments on the nations. And they are tribulation to the saints. And we are all going through tribulation now, especially the saints of God. And that tribulation is only going to increase for us as we approach the day, as the day gets nearer. And I wish that it was true that it was only 7 years, but unfortunately, the tribulation that we're entering into is going to be somewhat more than 7 years. I believe it's going to be less than 40. I believe we've been in it. I believe, well, I've had tribulation. Have any of you had tribulation in your life? As a matter of fact, I would say the declaration that in this life you shall have tribulation, that declaration is almost a promise. This is inescapable that we have tribulation. And many of our brethren in the past are the church fathers, sons and daughters of the church that have gone before us. Many hundreds of millions have laid down their life for the gospel, for taking a stand, for not capitulating to the beast, its image, or the mark of the beast. We're not having the mark of the beast in history. And so it will be. The scripture plainly tells us that the mark of the beast inquisitions are coming, and they're coming on the whole world. And everyone will be required to participate in order to buy or sell or trade. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air.
Bill from Ohio. I see these wheat chair signs for workers for wheat chair at high schools. Do you think it's about the wheat chair at high schools?
No, I've never seen that. I don't know what that is about.
They're both at Roman Catholic and regular schools. Looking for workers for wheat care.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that.
Let you know that's what's supposed to be.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing to the children, but that's pretty gross.
Yeah. Well, anyone who allows their children to go public schools today, what can they expect? The public schools have become child abuse centers. Yeah. So yeah, they care to abuse your child. They care to destroy them because Satan is their God. And this is his.
I'm afraid that the other thing was dysphoria, gender dysphoria. I sent a link. I didn't know whether you knew anything about what they're trying to do to children. 30% identify with the other gender.
Yeah, well, children are children, and Satan is taking well advantage of children. And how gullible they are and trusting they are. And there's going to be a lot of, millstones in hell, but it's going to be a lake of fire.
Yeah, so.
Makes me want to cry, man. Makes me want to cry. Seriously. A lot of times I listen to the news and my spirit cries. What can I say? It's a terrible time. Yeah, it's heartbreaking. It really is. All right, thank you, Dale.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Yeah, it can be very depressing to the things that are going on. Like I said, a lot of times I just listening to the news, just it weighs very heavy on my spirit, and I feel like I'm weeping inside. And I'm sure that all of God's people feel that way occasionally, and more occasionally than in past years and decades, because we're coming, you know, the birth pangs are getting closer and closer. And I wish it was only 7 years, but I believe that in 7 years, especially if they start building their faux temple and put up their faux antichrist, to pull off this, what I call the Temple Mount play about to begin, that 7 years will go by, and then the Antichrist, then it's full on. It's full on. Because they just keep running over the truth. You got half of the world, or more than half of the world, that are crazies. And all the people in power that have all the money and control all of the media and the agenda of the governments of this world, they have it now. Yeah. So we know where it's going. We cannot be surprised anymore. Yeah. We cannot be surprised anymore. But the good news is that all of the promises of God are ours. So we just need to share the gospel and the hope that's in us with as many people as possible. All of the elect will be saved. All Israel, I believe that scripture when it says all Israel will be saved, that it's referring to all of the elect of God. All of those that are of the true spiritual house of Israel will be saved. We need not doubt it. We need not doubt it one bit. And we should pray that God use us to, you know, to accomplish in his kingdom whatever he wants. We are his instruments. And we belong to him. He purchased us with his blood. So all we have to do is surrender to him and allow him to use us and allow him to put us in any situation whatsoever, even if the cost is our life. Because the worst thing they can do is kill us. Because we know that when they kill us, or when we die, or when he returns, whatever the circumstance of that transition for us from mortality to immortality, that all of the promises of God are ours, and he gives us that assurance by his Spirit of Truth, by his Holy Spirit. So we can share that reality, what God has given to us, with all those around us. And yeah, be sure to come back for the next hour. We're going to do part 8 of that Beast Apocalyptic. But until then, or until we meet again, may the Almighty bless you and keep you. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition, and we are going to pick up, I believe it's part 8 of The Beast Apocalyptic, The Beast Apocalyptic, and let's see. Yeah, an exposition of the apocalyptic beast powers and related symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. And you can get a copy of this book. You can actually buy it at Lulu or Amazon. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org. If you scroll down, I posted the links there a couple weeks ago. So both of the links there if you want to get a copy of this. But right now, we've been going through this, and I got to the Earth Beast creates an image of the Sea Beast. This is chapter 6. We were in Revelation chapter 13. Verse 12. He causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And I want to comment here that these miracles, okay, are not miracles, but they're pretend miracles. And the key to discerning, because there are people out there saying that the Antichrist and the false prophet, and because some people call the beast, the earth beast, the false prophet, but there's nothing in this chapter about the earth beast being anything other than what we have learned a beast is from the scripture. But they say they're going to do miracles. And even he's going to really rise from the dead by the power of Satan. Well, Satan is powerless. The only power Satan has is deception. Okay? That's it. That's all he has. And the key is in the text. It says, and deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. So his power isn't from above. It's from below. It's from the earth. He's not doing anything miraculous or supernatural, but he's deceiving people with pretended miracles, things that only men have power to do. So just wanted to settle that. Perhaps I should have wrote all that in here, but this is more an exposition into beast powers and the symbols used that are attached to them. So not really a symbol there. So principle in our search for a divine interpretation of the symbol here used, that of an image of a beast power, is that found in Daniel chapter 2 in the appearance of the mystery Babylon image from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In the first, we see a conglomeration of all the powers that would dominate the world from the first enumerated sea beast, that is Babylon, its head, which demanded worship of its own image in the plain of Dura, until this amalgamation of the four sea beast powers goes to perdition at the return of Christ. In the second end time image, the one here being created by the earth beast, which is, it says explicitly, is an image of the first beast or the sea beast of the same chapter. So in this second end time image, we see the conglomeration of all the powers of the earth, much like the first image we saw, for the final conquest of the whole earth, which will come to demand the worship or obedience of all. both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. It is through this image that the wounded head's healing is complete, and through which it can vicariously rule the world, was and is not, yet is, and cause them that dwell on the earth to wonder when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. And we're talking about the image of the beast of Revelation chapter 13, created by the earth beast, another dominant power in the world, as all of the beasts were at their time. We have learned from Bible history and at the temptation of Christ that it is Satan who comes to dominate all the kingdoms of mortal men, regardless of the best beginnings. So with the dragon power firmly entrenched in the U.S. government at Washington, D.C., in the New World, World War I is initiated and America lured to engage the conflict in the sea beast locality, that is, the Old World, after which the first attempt to create an image of the sea beast ultimately failed. The League of Nations, founded in 1920 as a result of the Paris Peace Conference that ended the First World War. America is not ready yet, but is certainly on the way to becoming the most powerful nation on earth. Of course, we're retrogressing back here to about 1920. America was not ready, but on the way to becoming the most powerful nation on earth. And I think World War II was instrumental in that. The onset of the Second World War showed that the League of Nations failed its primary purpose, which was to prevent any future world war. The League lasted for 26 years. The United Nations replaced it after the end of the Second World War. World War II, in the same century, fully develops American firepower in the sight of the entire earth. America concludes World War II with a miraculous firepower previously unseen, the atomic bomb, against which none dare make war. By means of those miracles which he had power to do, America convinced the world that they should make an image to the beast. This new image, the United Nations, is an intergovernmental organization tasked to promote international cooperation and to create and maintain international order, a replacement for the ineffective League of Nations. The organization was established on 24 October 1945, after World War II, with the aim of preventing another such conflict. At its founding, the UN had 51 member states. There are now 193 as of 2018. The headquarters of the UN is in Manhattan, New York City. Oh, how the dragon loves to concentrate power. The United Nations is the New World Order. America did not join the former League of Nations, but is a founding member of the UN. The UN Charter was drafted at a conference between April and June 1945 in San Francisco. This charter took effect October 1945, and the United Nations began operation. The organization's membership grew significantly following widespread decolonization in the 1960s, and by the 70s, its budget for economic and social development programs far outstripped its spending on peacekeeping. After the end of the Cold War, the UN took on a major military and peacekeeping missions across the world with varying degrees of success. America, with its 800 military outposts worldwide, was, and is the primary police enforcer, or the primary police power of the UN. The UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, adopted by the General Assembly on 25 September 2015, for transforming our world, truly covers just about every realm of human activity and is the perfect model for worldwide government to support a comprehensive and mandatory Mark of the Beast type monetary system. Beyond chapter 13 of the Revelation, the scripture makes no further telling exposition of the image of the beast. But can one even imagine? What more needs to be said? If we have not here discovered the truth, then we must soberly ask, what else could it possibly be? Yeah. I have a lot of critics, and what else it could possibly be? Nothing. Crickets. And that's all I get from them. Crickets. Or they just want to say, oh no, the second beast, the earth beast, is the Vatican, or it's the clergy, or some things that were said in the 19th, 17th, or the 18th and 19th centuries, because of course they couldn't see what would happen in the future and how clearly the prophecy would be fulfilled of the last beast rising in the scripture, which is the earth beast. It's the final beast that rises. It is the seventh beast of the seven beast powers that rise in the earth. But it doesn't conquer the sea beast because it doesn't even rise in the sea beast locality. That's why it is said to rise up out of the earth as opposed to the sea. Okay, we went through all that in our last session. So you can go back and watch part 7 on that, or watch the whole thing, or you can buy the book. Yeah. But yeah, you could listen for free. There you go. As we go through it. So anyway, I've got some Mark of the Beast. This is a beast symbol. This is a symbol attached to the beast. So of course we have to discuss it. The Mark of the Beast. Revelation 13, 16 through 18. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Okay. Now, this tells you, there's some obscurity here. And what does the Bible mean when it's obscure? When it tells us something, but it adds a little obscurity to it. It means that that what is being discussed is not one definitive thing. That it can be interpreted somewhat broadly. Because I believe that the scripture, you know, that the Revelation covers the last 1800 years of history. Okay. And the Mark of the Beast has been discussed in the historical part of the Revelation, saying that judgment fell on them that had the Mark of the Beast. Well, what was the Mark of the Beast in context, in the historical context of the mention of the Mark of the Beast? People ask me this. And, well, it was those that, say, prayed with beads because they were working out their own salvation, okay? And they were following the instruction of the Antichrist. So they were praying with beads to idols, or praying before statues, or participating in a false bloodless sacrifice called transubstantiation. See, these are marks of the beast. Or someone who worships the Antichrist. That would be another mark of the beast. Another mark of the beast is someone who goes along and does what the Antichrist says to do, even though it violates God's law. Or anyone who believes that they can work out their own salvation by doing what the Antichrist and his clergy tells them to do. That men can forgive them of their sins, or that they're covered by participating in transubstantiation and other false sacrifices, or that they can buy their dead loved ones who have already passed on, they can pay for their escape from purgatory, where they're being tortured for their sins until they've been tortured enough to be cleansed by the torture, yeah, that happens in purgatory. See, these are all marks of the beast, especially the Antichrist beast. Other marks of the beast are people, say, who reject God's word, but then turn to the government or the beast to be for their law, because they want to violate the law of God. So they have, the beast will pass laws that violate the law of God, but they're okay with. So they can violate God's law by false laws or by legalities that are written by the laws of men. They put the law of a beast government and the legislatures of men, they put that law above God's law. That's another mark of the beast. You see, the mark of the beast can be a lot of things, but there's something specific here about buying and selling. Now, I know that historically that people were forbidden to trade or buy or sell because they did not have the mark of the beast. They did not participate because they were deemed heretics, because they were Bible believers, and they put the word of God above the word of the Antichrist. See, all these things are marks of the beast. So the mark of the beast can be pretty broad, and it can manifest itself in many ways. And you know whether you worship God or you worship the creation. And if you worship the creation more than you worship the Creator, that's a mark of the beast. Yeah, that's it. Anyway, let's continue with our text here. The number 666, the name and the number. It may be unclear whether the antecedent earth beast or the image be the nominative to the verb causeth, with which the passage above opens, for the image is but a construct instigated by the earth beast on behalf of the sea beast. And the earth beast, one of the several agents or superintendents, in order to the fulfillment of the enactments of the image. As to the requirement that all should be made to receive on their right hand or forehead the mark, name, or number of the beast, it has been so well and so fully illustrated by former commentators in regard to the number from customs prevalent in the Roman world about the time of St. John, and its application to the papacy has been so clearly shown that we have little more to do here than to abridge them from the Horae Apocalypticae. I now proceed to show the application of all this to the papacy. We have this from E.B. Eliot. One, as to the beast's name and its papal application, the prophetic statement is thus made in numerical enigma. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of the man, and his number is 666. There are here two things to be premised. First, the number 666, given in the usual text, is unquestionably correct, for Irenaeus in the most positive manner states it so, and also Hippolytus, nor of the many solutions suggested by the fathers is there anyone founded on any other number. Two, there is the highest probability of the language and the number of the word being meant Greek and not Hebrew, because the revelation was intended for the Gentile church, to whom Hebrew was scarcely known, because the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet are expressly selected by Christ in the Apocalypse, and not those of Hebrew, to express his eternity. The Alpha and Omega, I am Alpha and Omega, saith the Lord, because the numerals in which the enigma is expressed are Greek numerals, and because Irenaeus directly asserts, and all the other early fathers imply, by making their solutions in Greek, that it was understood by them to be the language intended by the divine spirit. Other languages besides Greek and Hebrew I conceive to be out of the question, more especially the imperfect numerals of the Latin language. There is no example so early. These two things premised, we proceed to the solution of the enigma, an inference of the name from the number given, nor can I conceive any name more appropriate and in every point satisfactory than this famous name, Latianos, given by Irenaeus, itself the name of a man, vis-a-vis of the father of the Latin race, Latinus, and of which the numerical value is exactly 666. It seems to me, he says, very probable, since this is a name of the last of Daniel's four kingdoms, they being Latins that reign now. And that was from Irenaeus, I believe. And Hippolytus, his disciple and follower, not very long after, both in the episcopate and in the martyrdom, urges the probability of the name Latianos in the Greek with much more distinctness and decision of judgment in its favor. And this for the very reason previously suggested by Irenaeus, vis-a-vis that it was the name of the holders of the fourth prophetic kingdom, which empire he knew was to continue, though changed, and under the new heading of Antichrist, till Christ's second coming to take the kingdom with his saints. It is manifest to all, he says, when speaking of the new head accruing to the Roman beast, after the healing of its deadly wound. For they who now reign are Latins, and the name transmuted into that of an individual becomes Latianos, or the Latin man. I shall presently have to show the particular appropriateness in this point of view of the name in the Greek, an appropriateness very far greater than originally recommended by the high double authority of Irenaeus and Hippolytus, and recommended yet more by its own intrinsic appropriateness, its number, in the usual mystic orthography, 666, it's the name of a man, its name that of a man, and name too of the then holders of that fourth of the great mundane empires out of which the Antichrist was to arise, stands forth for our acceptance, disencumbered on this point and free. And indeed, in this last mentioned point of view, as a popular local appellative it had when applied to the last or anti-Christian head and form of the Roman beast, an appropriateness unfolded in subsequent history that the early fathers little anticipated, an appropriateness such that I doubt not, had Irenaeus known it, he would have regarded the name as not merely one out of two almost equally probable solutions, but the only and all but certain solution. It is this. In the time of Irenaeus, though the then reigning emperor and nation might be called, as he observes, Latins, yet the appellative so applied was unusual, the nation being Romans, the language only called Latin. But so it was that a few centuries after, when the Western Empire had broken up into 10 kingdoms, and we're going to pick up here when we get back from some messages. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition, and we are going through The Beast Apocalyptic. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a Live Prophecy Reality Edition, and we are in part 8 of the Beast Apocalyptic. Let's pick up where we left off. Speaking of the Mark of the Beast, and we're back up here a little bit. And indeed, in this last mentioned point of view, that is, as a popular and local appellative, it had, when applied to the last or anti-Christian head and form of the Roman beast, an appropriateness unfolded in subsequent history that the early fathers little anticipated, an appropriateness such that I doubt not, had Irenaeus known it, he would have regarded the name as not merely one out of two almost equally probable solutions, but the only and all but certain solution. It is this. In the time of Irenaeus, though the then reigning emperor nation might have been called, as he observes, Latins, yet the appellative so applied was unusual, the nation being Romans, the language only called Latin. But so it was that a few centuries after, when the Western Empire had broken up into 10 barbaric kingdoms, with Rome as their common religious center and capital, preparatory, according to the prophecy, to the development of Antichrist, so it was, I say, that just at the critical conjuncture, the Eastern, separating themselves from the nations of the West, instead of the national appellation of Greeks, which more appropriately belonged to them, somewhat remarkably appropriated to themselves the distinctive appellative of Romans, and affixed to those Western kingdoms, one and all, connected with Rome, the very appellative of Latins, here predicted in the Enigma. Nor did the latter fail to accept or adopt the title, so that it became thenceforward the peculiar distinctive title of the Roman Empire in its last form, including both the body and the head. It was the Latin world, the Latin kingdoms, the Latin church, the Latin patriarch, the Latin clergy, the Latin councils. Indeed, the Romanists of the West did on their part whatever might yet more add to the appropriateness of the apocalyptic appellation. To use Dr. Moore's words, they Latinize in everything. Mass, prayers, hymns, litanies, canons, decretals, bulls are conceived in Latin. The papal councils speak in Latin. The scripture is read in no other language under popery than Latin. In short, all things are Latin. And the total failure of every other solution, I mean of every one of which the object has been to turn away the application from the popedom to some quite different enemy or supposed enemy of Christ Church, whether pagan, Protestant, Islam, has only served to make it the more remarkable and the more convincing. Yeah, we even have Latin America, come to think of it. And they call them Latinos. They Latinize everything. So it is quite appropriate that the Greek word for Latins or Latin, the Latin man, all come to that numerical, that number 666. And he causes, okay, next, moving on here, continuing in the scripture. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So it's not one thing, like some people said, it will be a microchip. I won't take the microchip because, you know, plus that, you know. And so they're just thinking it's one thing only. But here, there is some ambiguity that no man buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And as I discussed earlier, many things are a mark of the beast and can be a mark of the beast. So it doesn't have to be one specific thing or one particular number. The name of the beast, the mark, or the number of his name. Any of those will suffice, and that brings a whole lot of ways that you can be verified as belonging to the beast, because really it's an identification. A mark is something that is put on something, or a number that's put on someone or a thing to identify it. Like all of our automobiles are marked on the back of them. They have a tag, a mark, that identifies them. And we all have identifying marks and numbers, or most of us, have marks and numbers given to us by the government, whether we use them or not. You know, the government has numbers for all of us. Several numbers, many numbers for us that mark us and identify us. So we just don't want to, when it comes to a spiritual mark and number, is where is, who are you identified with? Are you identified more with the world, with Satan, with the Antichrist Church, with the governments of men? Who's your lawgiver, you know? Two, the mark of the beast in its final form. What we have seen in pre-Reformation and Reformation history, the enforcement of prohibitions, confiscations, and forfeiture of life, liberty, and property against hundreds of millions of those whom the great apostate church deemed to be heretics during its 1260-year rule. And we notice that this same beast with the mark, number, and name is given new life, perhaps somewhat clandestinely, when the wounded head is healed and regains control of, and again mounts the beast, with the help of its companions, the two-horned earth beast, and the image it creates, and how that when her past judgment and wounding came, that such judgment fell on those which had the mark of the beast, as well as the seed of the beast. We understand by verse 18, it is the number of a man, and his number is, that the beast derives its number from the man who represents or heads it, the man of sin, Daniel's little horn, and the Antichrist, the Latin man. But here, in conjunction with the earth beast and its image, a peculiarity in a universal requirement for the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell would seem to bring about a worldwide condition where the Antichrist will dominate or supplant the monetary systems of the entire world, so that they could exclude those who will not capitulate, but instead choose to live in obedience to the true gospel of Christ and his kingdom, so that they will be disqualified from the world's universal system of buying and selling. Over the last century, we have seen a complete move from trade in gold and silver money or substance to trade in fiat currency, currency with no intrinsic value, now even primarily digital cyber money. At this time, more than any other in history, it has become all too obvious for the saints to observe the predicted mark of the beast monetary system and a universal mandatory identification developing. As it is plainly unfolding before our very eyes, it seems the great COVID flu panic of 2020-2021 has only clarified our view of this future with its so obvious strides toward the totally digital monetary system and developing identification or mark technologies. All of this is very much a part of the UN 2030 agenda, therefore unfolding according to the end in view of this chapter of the Revelation. God help us all. And that's the end of that chapter. Our next chapter is, Mystery Babylon and the Beast Powers. As I said here, going through my book, The Beast Apocalyptic, we're looking at everything having to do with the Beast Powers, starting with Daniel and moving through the Revelation. So that by the time we get done with this study, if you've been with me from the beginning, if you haven't, you go to my website there and you can go back, or go to my YouTube page. You can connect with that and you get all of those and listen to them all one by one, through this series. This is part 8. I guess we can start on this one today because we still have, next week we'll jump in. We won't be able to finish Mystery Babylon, chapter 7. And then chapter 8 is conclusion of the matter. And then I have some appendices, there's really nothing to share there with the appendices because they're kind of side issues that are, you know, kind of connected or people have questions about in some of the passages, like the 2300 days passage. And God has been graceful. He's been gracious to me because it seems that He is giving me answers to all of the things and many things I did not understand in the past. And even, you know, this very year is going through this study because I believe He's led me to write this book. And it seems that every time, you know, people ask me a question and I pray for that I can see the correct, the Holy Spirit, the answer that the scripture itself reveals. Cause that's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking for new revelation. I'm looking to understand the revelation that God has already given us. And so it's like the 2300 days. It's become so clear to me now, where in the past it wasn't clear. It was starting to become clear. I got ideas, but it seems that, you know, there are some phrases, some words, some little portions, a verse here, some point ignored or not clearly seen, which became clear later on. But the answer has to be found in His Word, and it has to be explicit. And just because something is explicit and it's in His Word doesn't mean that I see it all the time. We're just mortal men here. Fallible, mortal, you know, men, looking through this glass darkly, you know, unable to see everything clearly. So God has been gracious to me and I prayed for understanding that I might be able to share it with those that He's called the few, very few people that, you know, watch these broadcasts or listen to First Amendment Radio or perchance, happen on some of my videos or postings, that they might learn and understand these things as I believe that the Word reveals them to us. But God has been good. He's been opening up His Word to me and giving me a better understanding, a complete understanding of much of these mysteries. The time is at hand. You know, we have little time left that all of the mysteries of the Revelation having to do with the era in which we live should be coming very clear to us, where they weren't clear to E.B. Eliot, the things that have happened since then, even though they were developing in his time. How could he see them? How could he even question, is this it? Yeah. So he looked for answers in the past to some things that were yet future. But I'm sure that if he were here today, I believe that we would be in agreement on many of the things that have been revealed or unfolded in history since the 19th century passed away. And here we are in the 21st century already. Yes, indeed. I'm surprised I put that up. I'll put that in her. If you add up the Roman numerals for something, I'll say, Roman for the Vicar of Christ. Well, a lot of things will add up and some of them will be appropriate, but most of them will not. And I don't believe that could have been the case. The Vicar of Christ, that was unknown in Irenaeus' time. About the Latin man, referring to the same man, the Vicar of Christ, it's, you know, it could be more than a coincidence that, because a lot of people have come up with this one and followed today, but I'd rather go back to the beginning, something that history has proven to be true, and as E.B. Eliot exposed for us, even more appropriate. I mean, even today, when I say Latin America, what am I talking about? Or when I say Latinos, who are these people? What does that connect them with? So, yeah, it's more appropriate than even this later one that comes up in Roman numerals. Yeah. You can find a lot of things that fit, and probably very few of them in other languages and other numerical systems that would be appropriate, but most of them would not be appropriate. So people can go into a lot of error by using, but it is obvious to me that God, you know, that Jesus meant the Greek because he used the Greek. And the gospel and all of the New Testament was given to us in Greek, not in Hebrew, you know, but in Greek. That's right, because, you know, the Hebrew nation had the oracles of God until the New Testament. Their time was over. Now the oracles of God, because the gospel is going to the nations, and the Hebrew nation is included in the nations now. It's not a set-apart church of God. So it went to the language of the nations, which was Greek. Yeah, that was the language of the nation, even in the Roman Empire. Though they had their Latin, Greek was the dominant, like English is the dominant today. English is, and I believe because of the King James Bible, I believe that English, because of it, that English has become the international language or the language of the nations. Whether it will stay that way or what, we'll see. We don't have that much time anyway, so it's not all that important. But yeah, I know about the vicars filii adding up to 666 in Roman letters, which means the vicar of Christ or the replacement of Christ. It's fitting that it should, but I don't believe that that is at all alluded to in the scriptures, especially in before the vicar of Christ became evident who he was. It is fitting that it was. Well, we're back. We're down to the last 10 minutes here, so I'm not going to jump into chapter 7 of my book, Mystery Babylon and the Beast Powers, and moving on to further unravel. I mean, if you haven't got it by now, but that's the purpose of an exposition, is to completely go through everything in the scripture having to do with the beast symbol and the symbols related to it. And I hope that I haven't missed anything. And if I have missed something here or there, well, you know, maybe I could add it later on if I ever do an updated edition, which is unlikely, unless I find a whole lot of typos. But I'm usually pretty good, but even sometimes a year later, I'll find a typo in a book or run across or someone a point went out to me. Yeah, so, yeah, just a fallible man. Just trying to keep my brain in top working condition until Christ comes. That's all there is to that. Not that it matters. And anyway, go to my website. Make sure you subscribe. That way, when I go live, you get a post or an email before the broadcast goes on, and you can keep up to date with what's going on here. And also, my main job during the week is running First Amendment Radio Network, which is definitively a Protestant protesting, live protesting, Reformed Bible-believing broadcast system. So, and I'm on there 5 days a week. Usually going through the Bible. The other 4 days, we take a hiatus here on every Wednesday and go live and talk about current events and with a prophetic worldview, definitively a historicist prophetic worldview. And then, in the second hour, we try to get something going that we can share with you in succession to help educate God's people on what I believe is the historical interpretation. Well, it is the historical interpretation of prophecy and the revelation out of the scripture. So I like to stick to that grammatical, historical, exegetical, hermeneutic of the Bible in all things, theological as well as eschatological. You're welcome, Ty. Yeah, and thank you for that, Dale. Yep. So anyway, so if you're you can get First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on your smartphone. We have for Android, we have a Prophecy Reality News app that airs or streams First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you have an Apple product or anything else, or even on your Android product, you can open up a browser page and put a fast link to that tab or browser, or that browser link on your Surface. And that way you can bring it up at any time. And that is firstamendmentradio.com or .net/MOBI. And, that way you'll have our mobile player, and that streams 64 kilobit stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Plus all of our podcasts are available there on demand, and they're all updated. All 7 days a week are there, and they're updated within a few hours after every broadcast, during the week. So, you can always catch the latest broadcast of, whichever program you like. And, sometimes that'll be the day before, or if you're late in the day, well, it'll be all of the earlier programs will already be up. So that way you can catch up with everything and listen and zoom in on whichever program you specifically want to listen to. Or while you're working, you can just listen 24/7. We get news at the top of the hour, and just enjoy it all the time, and tell all your friends and all of your contacts about it. Well, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time.